A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 6. Hot. All right, said Vanth, fidgeting restlessly. The palace loomed in front of them. Another half-day of traveling had brought them here without any trouble, though Din was finding it significantly harder to get Vanth through the front door than it had been to get him on a speeder. Are you sure he got rid of the Rancor? Din resisted the urge to kick Vanth in the ankle like a misbehaving mark. Vanth had been fine on the ride over. More than fine, actually, once he'd realized the sands were flat enough to race on, and that Din was viciously competitive, even in his borrowed bark. But as soon as the palace had wavered into view, Vanth had become secretive and strange. Yes, said Din, for the fifth time. I'm sure. He couldn't even be that irritated with Vanth's concern, not really. Din had been worried about the Rancor, too. But Din knew Fett a bit better now. If Fett had ever decided that he needed to kill Din, he'd do it face-to-face with his own blaster. He'd do the same to Vanth, too, if Vanth made himself Fett's enemy. Jabba's palace had always been a place where slaves went to die, though, so Din couldn't blame Vanth for his skittishness. Telling him how Fett'd kill him if he ever thought he needed to probably won't help, Din thought. That's not a, yes, I'm sure, because I saw him put something even more horrifying into the pit instead, is it? Vanth asked, eyeing the doors and their guard with open hostility. He wasn't dragging his feet, exactly, but he did keep sneaking glances over his shoulder at the speeders. Did it get a Rathar? A Wurruk? Din did kick Vanth in the ankle, though he was gentle about it. Vanth shook his foot out and scowled at him. If you'd spent as much time as I have needling Jabba's operation, you'd be pretty concerned, too, Vanth said. Din rolled his eyes beneath the helmet. It's not Jabba's operation anymore, he said. There's no Rancor. There aren't even any Gamorreans. There's still that old trapdoor, though, right? Din sighed. You want to borrow my jetpack? He offered. I can't do anything about the trapdoor, but you'll be able to stay off the ground at least. Not that there's a Rancor down there, he added. That seemed to settle Vanth some. Nah, he said. He shot Din a brave grin, though Din could still see that Vanth's whole body was on alert, tension wound and glowing through him like the light of a reactor coil. I'm not a big fan of heights. Then quit whining, said Din, but he kept his tone light, so Vanth would know that Din wasn't really that bothered. It was interesting that Vanth seemed to be more wary of Fett than he had been of the Krayt Dragon. Din supposed he could understand. Despite its size and its appetite, a Krayt Dragon couldn't really hold a grudge. It would eat you if you wandered across its path, but it wouldn't be personal about it. A cartel boss certainly could be, especially in a place like Tatooine. I don't think Fett is that interested in running a cartel, though. Din had been turning that thought over and over, ever since Vanth had agreed to follow Din back from Mos Pelgo. He'd slept lightly in the town, catching Nexu naps in between the thumps and rattles of Vanth's vaporator, so Din had had plenty of time to think. Din hadn't figured out exactly why he thought that. From all outside appearances, Fett had taken over Jabba's little empire neatly and was eager to get back to business as usual. The smuggler's routes would be humming with spice and silicate and blasters soon enough. But there was something different happening, too. A Hutt operation didn't care about alliances. The Hutts just strong-armed everyone around them into submission and killed those that kicked up too much fuss. Hutts didn't do business with escaped slaves, either. Din had seen the ragged scar on Vanth's chest, a puckered weal just above his collarbone. Vanth's life in Mos Pelgo had been won, not given. No, Fett had a different idea in mind. Din just didn't have all the pieces to see the whole holopuzzle. Fett wasn't motivated by an affection for credits. He would have just sold off the Beskar he'd found in Jabba's storerooms if Clink was what Fett wanted. Revenge? Din thought. The guard at the palace's enormous front doors. Theron, Din realized with a jolt, though Theron didn't seem to recognize Din beyond a friendly nod, rapped on the door, tapped his datapad, and let them in. The doors groaned, sand crunching in the winch gears as the door slowly opened. The storm blew through here, too. Mos Pelgo was half a day's ride at a good clip over the Dune Sea. The winds must have moved fast. Din was surprised that there wasn't more damage, though Jabba's palace had stood for hundreds of years and would probably outlast them all. Vanth balked again, eyeing the depths of the palace like they were the inside of a crate dragon's mouth. Din took up a spot behind him, guarding Vanth's back, and knocked into his shoulder gently. Din wouldn't drag him in front of Fett. He'd just encourage Vanth, that was all, and make sure that Vanth knew that Din had his back. Vanth scowled at him again, tugging at his bandana, but got the message and gingerly stepped inside the palace. "You've been here before?" Din asked, mostly to keep Vanth from either bolting or drawing his blaster on anything that moved. Vanth shook his head. "Nah, was lucky enough to avoid Jabba's attention. Nobody holding my chain was ever important enough to get an audience with the old worm either. I ran a delivery here once, but Bib Fortuna met me at the door." "Bib Fortuna's dead, too," said Din. Vanth nodded. "Weren't surprised when we heard," he said. "Never seemed to have much going on in his head, did Bib Fortuna. That he held onto the throne for as long as he did is a genuine Tatooine miracle." "How did Fortuna end up with the throne?" Din asked, mostly to keep Vanth's mind off their destination. The front hall had many doors and branching hallways, but it really only led to one place. "How did Jabba die? He was killed, wasn't he?" "Hutts lived a long, carking time, otherwise. Din wasn't sure he'd ever heard of one dying of old age." Vanth nodded, brightening a little. "The stories are all over the place," he said. "Nobody really knows exactly what happened. Something to do with the smuggler the worm wanted, some bounty Fett brought in. The smuggler's friends came to get him back and destroyed something of value in the palace during the rescue attempt, so Jabba got mad and decided to throw them all to the Sarlacc. Took everyone out to the pit of Carcoon, was going to make a big deal of it, the whole thing. But somehow Jabba ended up dead, and Fett was the one who fell into the pit." "That's it?" said Din, a bit disappointed. Vanth laughed. "My people tell me it was a slave who did for Jabba in the end," he said, voice lowering conspiratorially. "Some princess he'd stolen away to warm his belly. She choked him to death with his own chains. Desert justice." Din raised his eyebrows. "That sounds like a folktale," he said, having heard more than a few last night. "A lot of Tatooine stories seem to be like that. A hero, a villain, a slave outsmarting her master, the cunning and determination of the desert's creatures. Most Mandalorian stories, Din knew, were just about hunting and breaking noses." "Yeah, well, the other one I heard a lot was there was a carking Jedi came and cut Jabba to bloody pieces. Though that seems the more likely option now, if you say you've run into some Jedi." "Two," Din clarified. He privately doubted that a Jedi would want much to do with Tatooine, aside from the relative anonymity that one could find out in the sands. "I've met two, and that's only because I went out looking for them." "How did you find the Jedi?" Vanth asked curiously. They were nearing the steps that led down into the throne room now. There were a few more guards about, but none gave Din and Vanth a second look. "You didn't tell that story last night." Din shrugged, discomfort prickling at the back of his neck. "It's not my story to tell," he said. "The Jedi, they're like us. Or like I was," he corrected himself, wincing. The word Darmanda burned in the back of his throat. "Mandalorians, we've been hiding for a long time. It's the best way to keep the foundling safe. If the Jedi want to hide, I'm not going to give them up." It sounds like they've earned the right to hide, Din thought. Vanth's account of the end of the Jedi told Din that much. The Empire hated Jedi even more than it had Mandalorians. And the kid is with them. Din had promised Grogu that he'd see him again when Grogu had a better grip on his powers, and Grogu couldn't train in peace if half the galaxy was hunting his teacher. Din would keep the Jedi secret. Vanth, to his credit, only nodded. He had his secrets, too. His network, the people he looked after. Din had the vague suspicion that the network was the real reason Vanth was considering an alliance with Fett. Fett's protection would make Mos Pelgo a safe stop for anyone slipping a chain. Escapees could even follow the trail to Bestine and from there go anywhere in the galaxy. That's as good a reason to accept Fett's offer as any. Din wasn't sure exactly what the people of Mos Pelgo had talked about in their quorum, but someone had made a pretty good argument in favor of the deal. Din doubted it had been Vanth. They reached the top of the steps. Vanth tensed. "It's not like Jabba's court at all," Din told him, because it was true. Vanth flashed Din a surprised glance. "You went to Jabba's court?" Din nodded. "I was much younger," he said, halfway explaining. When he'd been telling stories for Mos Pelgo's children, Din had skirted some of the nastier aspects of his work, but Vanth was a grown man and had likely seen much worse than Din. Vanth knew what a Baroya was, what they did, and who they often worked for. Vanth's eyes hardened almost imperceptibly. "What were you doing in Jabba's court?" Din met his gaze. The helmet was impassive. Vanth looked away first, a frown creasing his forehead. "I see." "Places change," said Din, steadily. Jabba had been a blight on Tatooine, especially for Vanth and his people. But Din had worked for plenty of beings like that. Black Sun wasn't any better. The Bounty Hunters Guild had reformed itself somewhat in recent years, but when Din had started out there, he'd done his fair share of unpleasant things for unpleasant beings. He'd done just about anything for enough plink to feed the tribe. A moral high ground was well and good, but it wouldn't feed starving foundlings. Vanth knew that, too. "So do people. That's all. Jabba was hardly the only crime boss I took jobs from. It was the same for Fett." Fett had, apparently, spent some time working for Darth Vader. Even Din knew who Darth Vader was. Din had heard cantina gossips wonder if Vader was even Mandalorian, ruthless and skilled and always masked. But the Allure had been adamant that Vader was not, and that if any of the tribe were to bump into him out in the galaxy, they were to run, and run fast and far. That did make Vanth huff an acknowledgement, though he didn't look any more keen to start down the stairs. Din let Vanth take his time. There was no use pushing at him. Vanth was not a bounty Din could throw in carbonite when Vanth's nerves started to grate on Din's own. Din turned up his auditory sensors. Faint strains of music, something low and smoky, a far cry from the jumble of noise that Jabba had preferred, filtered into his helmet. Finally, Vanth took a steadying breath, nodded to himself, and said, "Guess Hayden never helped the Dune Worm, huh?" Din inclined his head, and Vanth started down the steps. Once he'd gotten himself going, Vanth moved easily, head up, the confidence instilled by his role as Mos Pelgo's protector locking around him like armor. Din smiled a little. He really did like Cobb Vanth. In another galaxy, Din thought, he'd have been a good Mandalorian. At the bottom of the steps, Fett's court was more crowded than Din had seen so far. The band was back and working hard. Strains of music hung in the air and buzzed faintly in Din's auditory sensors. He winced at the noise. Nora had the bar again, this time accompanied by the Twi'lek woman who'd come before Fett asking for his help in finding her daughter, and both were slinging drinks with practiced confidence. A small band of Tuskens, all warriors, Gaddafi strapped to their backs, had taken over a cluster of tables. A slightly larger group of sandy, dust-blasted settlers glared at them from the other side of the room. Various beings of every shape and size mingled in the middle, drinking or talking or swaying to the music. Fett was on his throne alone, affecting laziness, fully armored. Din scanned the room and didn't see Fennec. There were more guards than Din had seen, too. Most of them were human, and all of them were openly and obviously armed. Din frowned. "I was only gone for a cycle," he thought. "What happened?" Fett's battered helmet tilted in Din's direction. He looked at Din first. The glance, even through both helmets, lit up Din's spine. He stood taller. Then Fett's helmet tilted again to look at Vanth. "Marshal," Fett rumbled. "You'll forgive me," Vanth drawled back, cold calm crossing his face like a desert night. "But I don't quite know what to call you." After the crate, Vanth had been so friendly and relaxed, and content to let Grogu chew on the end of his bandana, that it was sometimes hard to remember that he'd stared down Din with his hand on his blaster. Vanth was as willing to fight and die as any battle-trained Mandalorian. Any kid could bluster around and pretend to be a triggerman, but Din knew true triggermen when he met them. Vanth was no pretender. Fett made a sound that Din only caught because his auditory sensors were turned up. he said. My name's fine, Marshall. You know it? Vanth inclined his head. I know it, he said. Fett stood then, the joints in his armor creaking. The band kept playing, but all conversation in the room stopped. How many of them know? Din wondered, shifting half a step closer to Vanth's back. How many of them know that someone else was wearing Fett's armor? Beskar was so uncommon that it was hard not to recognize once you'd seen it. When Vanth had worn it, Fett's armor had been nearly colorless, paint stripped off by sand and wind and hard use. Now it practically glowed in its fresh coat of green and red. But someone must have seen Vanth in it. Pelly had known to send Din off to Mos Pelgo after all. Word got around on Tatooine. How many people in this room expect Vanth to die here? Fett wasn't as tall as Vanth, who was taller than Din himself, but that didn't seem to matter as Fett approached. Fett was broad and strong, his presence filled the room. Din watched as Vanth's shooting hand twitched. Fett noticed too, because he made that thoughtful sound again and said, Easy, Marshal. You're my guest. Be welcome. Fett turned to Din and nodded once. Thank you, he said. Good job. I haven't agreed to anything yet, Vanth warned, oblivious to the way Din's back straightened at Fett's praise. My friend Mando here just made some good points, is all. Thought that it may be worth talking to you. The possessive, my friend, made Din roll his eyes again, mostly fond. He resigned himself to an evening of being used as a buffer between Vanth and Fett. Still, said Fett, and Din was getting to know him well enough that he could hear that Fett was also amused. He did as I asked, and I am grateful. Fett turned to the throne room at large, studying it for a minute, then looked back at Vanth. You want to talk here or somewhere quieter? Vanth stiffened. Fett just nodded. Here's fine, Fett said. He waved a dismissive hand at everyone else and pitched his voice above the music. Find somewhere else to be. No one argued. Fett looked at Din, head cocked, and Din didn't move, which Fett accepted with a tilt of his chin. So, Marshal, Fett said, moving over to the bar as its occupants filed out of the room in quietly whispering groups. Fett gestured at a stool. Vanth stayed standing. Din didn't sit either, but followed Fett and leaned a hip against the bar, angled neatly between Fett and Vanth. If they decided to shoot each other, they'd have to get through Din first, and Din was hoping that they both had enough respect for him to want to avoid that. Close-quarters blaster fire did hurt, even through Beskar. Did Mando here explain my proposition? Fett asked. He scooped three glasses out from behind the bar, Nora and the other Twi'lek having left with the rest of the throne room's inhabitants, and poured a measure of clear liquid, Tihar, if Din had to guess, into each. He pushed one over to Din's elbow, kept one for himself, and pushed the third to the end of the bar. Vanth eyed it and took a few steps closer, but didn't come any nearer. Really, thought Din, leaving his Tihar untouched for now. It's not like Fett's a Rancor. His reach isn't that long. He could probably manage to take his helmet off in front of Vanth. Vanth was as much Din's ally as anyone was these days, and Din liked Vanth more than he liked most of the others who'd seen his face. If I have to, Din told himself, if it would set Vanth at ease. He hooked his hands into his utility belt. I can take it off if I have to. He did, Vanth allowed. His gaze flickered between the two Mandalorians. Din made an effort to appear as relaxed and at ease as possible, propping his sore leg up against his good one. He put most of his weight onto his elbow. The spear on his back clinked against the bar. And? Fett prompted. Vanth sighed. And we voted, he said. Mos Pelgo's interested. But we want to modify the term some. Fett gestured to Vanth's untouched drink. By all means, he said. Negotiations are open. Vanth finally crossed the distance between himself and the bar, knocked back a swallow of Tihar, and let negotiations start in earnest. Din tuned most of it out, deciding that it wasn't really his business. He'd done what he'd been contracted to do, and the finer details of political arrangements had never been something that Din had ever cared to pay much attention to. He was a hunter, not a senator or a clan leader. Politics tended to make Din's head hurt. He kept enough of a sensor on the conversation to make sure nobody was ready to draw a blaster, and focused the rest of his attention on the many doors and entrances he could see from this position. "It really does look better in here," he thought. The new lamps, and the sunlight coming in through the windows, made the throne room bright and stately instead of squalid and dim. If any of Fett's people used spice, they didn't light up in the throne room, so the heady, dangerous haze that had lingered in Jabba's day was gone. Someone had even decorated a little. The tapestries hanging at intervals along the walls looked real to Din, so he was guessing that Nora had finally gotten tired of looking at blank walls while on shift. Every now and then, Din would catch a flicker of motion in some hallway or other. Each time he caught it, he tensed, waiting for a threat to appear, but no one wanted to risk Fett's wrath and interrupt negotiations, which had now turned into a spirited debate about whether or not any guards Fett posted in Mos Pelgo should be quartered in Pelgonian homes, or if Fett should have a separate barracks built for them. Vanth had taken a few sips of his tihar by now, and had mostly relaxed. Fett had too. Vanth drinking from Fett's table, even if that table was a bar in this case, protected them both. The law was true for everyone on Tatooine, smugglers, Tuskens, and crime lords all. Din turned his attention back to the throne room just in time to catch Fennec sauntering in from the direction of Fett's tower. Her tower, too, Din supposed. Fett had told him that Fennec's rooms were below Fett's, but above Din's. At first, Din thought that all was well. Fennec's stride was the same as it always was, cool and confident, and her clothes were as neat and ordered as usual. But there was a cut on her face, freshly closed, and her hair was mussed. Din frowned. Behind him, the negotiations stopped. "Marshal Vanth," said Boba, who had at some point taken off his helmet. "This is Fennec Shand, my second and the brains of the operation. Shand, this is Cobb Vanth, Marshal of Mos Pelgo." "I've heard of you," said Vanth tightly. Din winced. He knew how Fennec had gotten her reputation. Fennec ignored Vanth's tension and rolled her shoulders. "Same here," she said. She squinted at Vanth, and then at Fett, sizing them both up and down. "You must have been drowning in that armor." It was, Vanth spluttered, eyes darting between her, Fett, and Din like he was afraid of offending one or all three of them. "It did its job," he ventured, "but it was a bit loose, yeah." "You'll be working with Fennec some," said Fett. "She manages the guard rotation." One of Fennec's eyebrows went up. "Signing on, then, Vanth?" "Against my better judgment," Vanth muttered into his glass. Fett snorted. "It'll be profitable for both of us," he said. "You want a contract, or you want to seal it the Sandway?" "Sandway, if it's not above you," Vanth said. Din blinked. The negotiations had been successful, then. "It isn't," said Fett. He pulled off a glove with his teeth and held his bare hand out for Vanth to inspect. Vanth didn't wear gloves, but did the same, laying his hand out palm up on the bar. Both of them looked at Din and Fennec. "You got any bare steel on you?" Fett asked, looking at Din. Din nodded. He always carried a few traditional Verd knives as part of his kit. Vibroblades could be disrupted, or their battery packs could fail. Steel never failed. "The honors, then, if you don't mind. Fennec, a cloth?" Din did as he was asked. He drew a knife from his boot and cut both Fett and Vanth's palms right at the base of the thumb. The cuts didn't need to be deep, just enough of a cut to bring blood to the surface. Din cut Fett's hand first with one edge of his knife, and then Vanth with the other edge, while Fennec reached over the bar and rummaged around, coming up with a sand-colored rag of some kind. Din almost snorted, but held his tongue. Contracts had been struck on far worse than bar rags on Tatooine. The people of Tatooine didn't hold much faith in flimsy contracts or formal documents. Many of the planet's residents couldn't read. The Tuskens had no written language at all. But everything sentient on Tatooine had blood, or something that passed for blood. Blood spilled over a cloth or a heap of sand was just as good as a stamped flimsy or a notarized hollow. Fett and Vanth let their bleeding hands drip onto the cloth, a red stain mingling and spreading until a dark blotch formed. Contract made, Fett dug out a few more rags and tossed one to Vanth, keeping the other for himself. It was bad luck to staunch a sand vow cut with Bacta. The wounds had to clot and heal naturally. Fennec folded the bloody rag carefully a few times and took it over to a window. It would be left out in the sun to dry, and then when it was, it would be torn in two, half for Fett and half for Vanth. Dan had accepted some strange contracts, but he'd never been asked to bleed on anything. Tatooine, he thought, eyeing his little glass of Tihar, thinking that maybe today was the day he'd finally try some. It gets stranger every day. Now that a contract had been struck and Vanth was decently sure Fett wouldn't throw him down the Rancor pit, Vanth relaxed considerably. "We'll be glad to do business with you, I think," Vanth said, looking Fett up and down. Fett's helmet was perched on the bar. Now that Din knew where many of Fett's scars came from, he couldn't help but wince to look at them. "As long as you keep your word, anyway." "Should bring us both some profit," Fett grunted. He waved another careless hand. "You need a room for the night?" "No," said Vanth, draining his glass. He grimaced. Did Fett's Tihar burn? And then shot Din a meaningful look. "I've got a standing room in Mos Eisley. Some old friends I'd like to see. You know how it goes." "His network." Din frowned. He looked between Fett and Vanth. "Is that safe?" Din ventured. Fett himself had told Din of the price on Vanth's head. Any slaver or cartel thug would love to stumble upon Vanth and take his bounty for themselves. "Probably not," said Vanth, cheerfully. "But Mos Eisley's not too dangerous. If this was Mos Zabu, I'd be taking both of you with me to protect your investment, but Mos Eisley's tame as a lothcat." "You'll take a guard anyway," Fett said flatly. "I doubt your people will be too happy if you end up dead 30 feet from my front door." "He won't stay with you," Fett added, as Vanth's face began to close off. "Once he gets you into the city, you can do what you want, but he'll escort you." Vanth looked at Din. Din sighed. "Fine," he said. No Tihar this time either, he thought. Din turned to Fett, who shrugged and nodded. Permission granted, Din nudged at Vanth. "Let's go then," he said. Vanth smiled, but went easy. "Why?" he asked, letting Din herd him back towards the stairs. "You in a real hurry to get back, Mando?" "Yes," Din said flatly. "I want to eat." That made Vanth laugh. He was much happier to leave the palace than he'd been going in. The speeders were where they'd left them under Theron's watchful eyes, and the ride across the sands to Mos Eisley was easy. Din kept an eye on the dunes for the flash of a rifle scope or even a raider moving, but there was nothing and no one out there. By the time Din had dropped Vanth off in Mos Eisley, the day was growing late again. Vanth tried to offer Din a place among his people for the night, but Din politely refused, leaving Vanth at the edge of Mos Eisley's quarter, where most of the city's slaves or recently freed lived. "It's probably safer if I don't know," Din pointed out. "It's hard to give up a secret I don't have." "Fair," Vanth allowed. He clapped Din's shoulder like they were old friends. "Come visit when Fett doesn't have you running around half the planet," Vanth urged. "What I said after the dragon still stands. We'd be lucky to have you around." "I'll visit," Din promised, smiling underneath his helmet, and watched as Vanth nodded and disappeared into the crowds of Mos Eisley. For a man wearing mostly red, he vanished quickly. He likely had practice. Din made the journey back to the palace alone. He was tired, the effect of his sporadic night on Vanth's couch dragging at him. Pressure built behind his ears, hunger gnawed at his ribs. Hunger was better than nausea, though, so Din was mostly relieved when he made it back to the palace, the sun slashing a purple streak across the sky as he stowed his speeder and dismounted. Din slipped in through the back this time, through the landing bay in the rear of the palace. If Fett was holding his evening court, Din didn't want to disturb him. He did want to find Fennec and asked her what happened to her face, but he didn't want to bother her either if she was working. So instead of heading to the throne room, he leaned on his gradually expanding mental map of the palace and made his way down to the training room where he'd sparred with Fett. There Din scrounged up some decent oil and a rag, which he used to clean his blaster and his knives. "I'll need to find Beskar oil," he thought. His spear would never need sharpened. Beskar never lost its edge, but it could stand a good polish, as could his armor. Fett might have some. All of Din's had gone up with the crest. He'd rather owe Fett for a little Beskar oil than Kreese. Or I could just paint it, I guess. Din had been thinking about that, now that he was spending more time around other Mandalorians. He hadn't had time to paint his new Beskar gum before he'd grabbed the kid and fled Nevarro, and he hadn't been able to find another covert with paints. Fett had kept little stocks of green and red and yellow, but Din had worn red before, and he had no particular connection to green. Blue is out too, he thought. He had agreed to join Kreese's quest to help repay her for her aid in his, but Din had no intention of becoming one of her Talvod. Din pondered armor colors as he stowed the oil and rags back where he'd found them and stretched. He was sure that it was fully dark now, night well and truly fallen on Tatooine, and he was hungry. The kitchens, then. Thanks to Fett, Din knew how to get there from the training room, and he slipped inside without any trouble. The stoves and ovens were dark again, everything quiet except for one large pot kept over coals in the middle of the room, which was full, as it had been before, of Tusken curry. Din helped himself, scrounging up some mushy, day-old Jaipur bread to scoop the curry with. He checked the door surreptitiously, didn't hear or see anyone, so he released the seals on his helmet and dug in. He didn't recognize the meat, but it was well-spiced, and Din was too hungry to care much. He was still enjoying the relative novelty of being hungry. At this rate, Kreese is going to have to drag me back onto the cruiser, he thought. He didn't know if it was the air in the palace, the light, or even the smell of it, earthy and lived in, real in a way the constantly recycled air of the light cruiser wasn't, but it was easier to be here, easier to eat and sleep, to spar, to watch, to listen. Din was halfway through his plate, lost in thought, when a shadow crossed the threshold of the kitchen and startled him. He looked up. Fett, helmet tucked underneath an arm, looked back. Fett's expression was triumphant. "We should stop meeting like this," said Fett lightly. Din glared at him. "I'm pretty sure you're planning it," he muttered. The reflexive panic of being caught without his helmet on soured the curry in his stomach, made him twitchy and raw like a nerve exposed to the air. But it wasn't anything Fett hadn't seen before. Fett shrugged. "I could just be hungry," he pointed out. "You could," Din agreed, "but you're not." "I am," Fett corrected, his eyes crinkling like he was pleased with Din's cleverness. "But I did think I'd find you down here, yeah. You should come down during the day and talk with Ushib. She's going to start thinking that you're avoiding her if all you do is skulk around in her kitchen after the ovens have gone off." "I'd just be in her way," Din said. He turned his glare down onto his plate rather than keep looking Fett in the eye. Fett chuckled. "She's getting tired of talking to just me." He gave Din some space, moving over to the curry pot and scooping himself a plate as well. That made Din settle more than anything. Fett had been hungry then and hadn't just been looking for him. Shan didn't stay with the tribe long enough to pick up any sign. "You did, though." Fett nodded and started in on his curry with a soldier's familiar gusto. "I was with Ushib's people for years," he said. "Spent the first bit of it unable to do much of anything, and then once I was back on my feet, well, I didn't have a reason to leave, not really." "Not revenge?" Din asked softly. Fett's eyes gleamed. "My revenge held while I got my strength back up. Took me a while, let me tell you. Then I had to find my armor. Following you halfway across the galaxy and back took some effort. Fortuna didn't fight hard, anyway, and my other vengeance, well, if Han Solo is stupid enough to show his face on this planet again, I'll hear about it." Din grimaced. He didn't know who Han Solo was, but Din himself hadn't made it easy for Fett to get his armor back. Din had gone all over the place after he'd taken Fett's armor from Vanth. Nevarro, Corvus, Tython. It's no wonder it took Fett until Tython to catch up. "How did you find me?" Din asked. "Tython's uninhabited." "I'm Baroya too," said Fett, amused. "And not a bad one, either. I followed news of your ship. There aren't many pre-Imperial salvage ships still out in the black. We picked up your trail after you left Caladan and guessed where you were headed. There's not much of interest out around Tython except for Tython itself." "A good strategy. If their positions had been reversed, Din would have done the same. Fett's ship was very old and very distinctive." "Finish your dinner," Fett instructed. "Then we can talk, yeah? Unless you want to get paid first and talk tomorrow." Din scowled. He had no appetite anymore. But he could still do as he was told, so he finished his plate mechanically, the silence between him and Fett stilted and heavy. If Fett was bothered, he didn't show it. He clearly had as much experience eating under duress as Din did. "Who's Han Solo?" Din asked, because if he was going to be uncomfortable, he might as well prod at Fett, too. Fett grunted and set his plate aside. "A Hutun who's going to get what's coming to him sooner or later," Fett said darkly. He shook his head. He was a smuggler who ran spice for Jabba, and not a very good one. Pulled a job over on the worm one too many times, and ended up with a bounty on his head the size of Chinini. Oh, said Din, putting the pieces together. The one who... the smuggler Jabba was going to throw in the pit of Carcoon. Fett's mouth thinned. Talked to Vanth, did you? Din shrugged one shoulder, keeping his eyes away from Fett's. Vanth, he had some information I'd been missing. About the Jedi, about what happened here. I've been out of the loop, I guess. Fett made a dismissive sound. Solo fled Hutt space a year or so before I fell in with Jabba's outfit, he said. Then I heard he'd taken up with a rebellion. The Empire was paying well for any rebellion officers that could be caught or killed, so I went to Vader and cut a deal. He wanted the rebellion's generals and that kid who'd brought down the Death Star. I wanted Solo. We agreed to trade. Din nodded, eyebrows rising. He wanted to ask more questions, but held his tongue. Fett softened a little once he realized that Din wasn't going to get on him for his choice of employer, and kept going. Caught up with Solo on Bespin, he said gruffly. We used him and some Alderaani girl to draw in Vader's target, the pilot. Vader had the pilot handled, so I threw Solo in carbonite, loaded him up, brought him here. The payout was ridiculous.
So what went wrong? Din asked. The rebellion came to get Solo back?
Fett nodded and skimmed a hand over his scars. They tried to break him out first, he said. They botched that so badly that Jabba demanded they all be thrown into the pit. Only they had a few tricks to play still, and, well, Jabba and I got ours.
The Sarlacc.
Din wanted to ask about that, too. What it had been like, how Fett had clawed himself free. But Fett's mouth was set in a thin line, expression dark as the sky before a sandstorm, and Din didn't want to push. Clearly, whatever had happened when the rebellion had come for Solo had ended with Jabba dead, Fett injured and armorless. Jabba had died before the Empire, over 5 standard years ago. It had taken Fett that entire time to build his strength back up, to find his armor, to get back here. Din took another bite of curry, now cold. He glanced at Fett again.
Got any more Tihar? He asked quietly.
Fett's gaze flickered to life again a little.
I didn't want to try any before I rode out to Mos Eisley, Din explained.
I don't drink very often. We'll start slow, Fett promised, some good humor coming back into his face. A glass to start with, yeah? You ever had Tihar?
Some, Din said.
He scratched at the back of his neck, self-conscious. Din had always been an oddity among other hunters. Most of their kind made their living out of dives and cantinas, swishing spatchka and worse.
My allure wasn't...
She didn't want us to dull our senses. A few warriors from other tribes brought some when I was younger, but then I started hunting, so I haven't been around for many visits. Tihar's good for a hunter, Fett said, standing to rummage around in the same cabinet he'd pulled the drink from the first time. He poured 2 glasses again, though one had less than the other. He came over and put the glass with less in front of Din, keeping the larger for himself.
Puts hair on your chest, my father always said. A drink or 2 a day won't kill you. Won't even dull your senses, not once you're used to it.
Din eyed the glass of clear liquor dubiously.
Do I drink it all at once? He asked.
When he'd been younger, they'd all taken sips, laughing at the burn, but in the covert, they had all kept their helmets on.
Some do, said Fett.
He raised his glass. Taking a sip or 2 might treat you better, though, since you're not used to it.
That sounded like a challenge.
Din scowled, lifted his own glass, and knocked it all back in one swallow. He did not choke or splutter, but it was a near thing. The Tihar burned, sharp and almost astringent. Din grimaced. The Tihar he'd had as a young warrior hadn't been this strong. It had been mild, almost sweet.
Give it a minute, Jerrica, said Fett, laughing. He drained his own glass, too.
Din scowled harder at the endearment. He wasn't a child, Fett could tease. But he did as he was told and waited. After a few seconds, the sharp burn in his mouth faded, replaced by a sweeter taste.
Black melon, Din said, surprised.
Warmth bloomed in his belly, not unlike the warmth left by a good plate of spicy food.
Fett nodded,
It's not traditional, he said. My father made his tihar with siddiq, and it was as sweet as anything. Not much that sweet grows on Tatooine. The base for mine is maza. I've got a few batches that I was able to add black melon to, but the maza tastes strong and it lingers.
It's good, Din said, surprised.
He'd heard some older warriors joke that tihar's real purpose was beskar polish, but once the burn cleared out, Fett's tihar wasn't bad at all. Din would definitely prefer to drink it than use it to buff scratches out of his armor. Fett half-smiled and studied the bottom of his glass. My father's was better, he said. Din didn't know what to say to that, so instead of saying anything, he stood, collected his plate and his glass, and took them to the sink. He rinsed everything before putting it in a small sonic wash. He had the vague notion that if he ever did run into Ushib, she'd be even less impressed with him if she found out that Din didn't do his dishes. Fett watched him, amused, and surrendered his own plate when Din held out his hand for it. It wasn't long before Din was finished and out of things to do with his hands. He looked sideways at Fett, who looked back head-on.
"You're not very comfortable down here," Fett observed.
Din shrugged.
"I'm not very comfortable anywhere," he admitted. "It's, nothing personal."
"Didn't say it was," said Fett, stretching his legs. "There's somewhere here you'd prefer to talk? The training ring? Your room?"
"Your rooms," Din said, before his head could catch up with his mouth.
That did surprise Fett, who paused in the motion of picking up his helmet and raised what was left of his eyebrows. Din shrugged again, pauldrons cold against the bottoms of his ears. He didn't have any reason for saying it, really, but now that he'd said it, Din knew it was true. Maybe it was the open space, the ability to escape. If Din needed to, he could step off the edge and fly away.
"All right," said Fett, sounding thrown but willing.
"My rooms, then, if you're sure."
Din nodded.
He wasn't, but he did want to talk, and he wasn't going to find anywhere else that felt safer. Not with the crest a pile of rubble and his covert disappeared somewhere in the galaxy.
"After you, then," said Fett.
Din pulled his helmet and his gloves back on, leaving the shields disengaged. He was starting to remember the guard movements now. There were few enough of them around at night, and the ones who were on duty were easy to avoid. They made it back to Fett's rooms without passing another soul.
"What happened to Fennec when I was gone?" Din asked as they walked, remembering the cut on her face when she'd entered the throne room.
Faint guilt buzzed on the back of his tongue. He'd forgotten to ask.
Fett grunted.
"The Hutts have decided to register their complaints with me directly," he said. "Except the Chakarish they sent underestimated Fennec. She got him through the chest before he made it off the steps."
"Her face?"
"He brought a slug thrower," Fett said flatly.
"Because of the Besk."
He rapped his chest. "Fennec surprised him, so he missed me."
Din winced.
"A slug thrower wouldn't pierce true Beskar, but it could make an unholy dent, and it would punch through Kuta without much trouble."
"Was there anything on him?"
"Cartel ink and credit chip, but nothing else." Fett shook his head as they stepped into his private lift together, stood close enough that their Beskar nearly touched. "He won't be the last, but sending one Triggerman isn't an assassination attempt as much as it is a warning."
"A warning against what?"
"Disrupting their operations, I'd guess." The lift chimed softly and opened again into Fett's airy, windswept rooms. The long, gauzy curtains moved in the breeze. The work table was strewn with data pads and armor polish, and the bedsheets were rumpled, like Fett had had as restless a night here in his palace as Din had had on Cobb Vanth's couch. Din didn't need to be prodded out of the lift this time. He stepped out and went to the edge of Fett's rooms, staring out over the moonlit desert to settle his nerves. His fingers drummed restlessly against his thigh, not hard enough to jar his healing bruise, but just enough that he remembered, with every beat of his fingers, why he was here.
"Don't fall," Fett warned.
"That trick with the jetpack notwithstanding, it's a hell of a drop." Din peered over the edge, careful not to look directly down and trigger his vertigo, and smiled to himself, remembering the rush of wind and the catch of his jetpack as it ignited and brought him level again.
"It's not the highest thing I've jumped from," he said.
"Dini," Fett muttered. Din cocked his head. That had sounded like his name, but as far as he knew, Fett didn't know Din's full name.
"Dini," he repeated. Fett waved a hand. Lunatic, he clarified, rolling his eyes. Mind the edge, yeah? When the blast doors come down, it takes an era to get them back up. Din obliged, stepping away from the edge. The view had settled him some. He drifted closer to Fett, who leaned against his work table and set his helmet aside, facing Din.
So, said Fett, you wanted to talk?
Din nodded. He fumbled with his own helmet, pulling it off and setting it gingerly down in a chair so that it wouldn't end up abandoned on the floor like it had the last time Din had let Fett hurt him.
Yes, Din said.
Fett held out a hand.
So talk, he said.
Din floundered. He'd expected Fett to take control of the conversation, like Fett had taken control of everything else. Din didn't know what he was doing. He'd never allowed himself to think about it before. About what he could get out of an injury, what he could use pain to make himself do. Din looked at Fett, wide-eyed.
Fett sighed.
In the kitchens, he said. When I gave you that bruise you've got riding around underneath your armor.
Din shivered.
Did it help you?
Help me what? Din asked.
I liked it, he admitted, forcing himself to get the words out. It wasn't that Din was ashamed, necessarily. He knew it was a weakness, what he'd let Fett do, the position Din had let Fett put him in. But it couldn't be that much of one, could it, if Fett knew others who wanted it?
Okay, good to know, said Fett, nodding.
He did look pleased. Not smug, but like he'd taken a gamble and had it pay off. He looked like he'd won a hand of Sabacc.
What do you mean, that it helps? Din asked.
You tell me, Fett said. He nodded at Din's leg. When you were walking around on that, did you ever have a moment where it hurt, but the hurt cleared your mind, made you focus?
Din nodded, reluctantly.
Yes, he'd had that. Every time the noise in his ears had whined too loudly, he'd only had to take a forceful step and clear out every noise inside his head. Every time his thoughts had started to drift, he'd only had to press down and come rushing back into his body.
So it helped, Fett said.
Okay, Din said slowly. But is that it? You bruise me a few times, I get bruised, we go our separate ways until I need it again?
Could be that easy, yeah, Fett said, rolling his shoulders. I've got a few I do that for.
But what do you get out of it?
Fett was silent for a moment.
I don't understand, Din said, frustrated. He wished that he had the words to explain himself. He just didn't understand the nature of the transaction. Din got a bruise or six, got all the focus and low-burning pleasure he could want, and Fett got what?
The experience of beating Din up a little? Most beings who took a swing at Din got that experience for free.
All right, said Fett, looking thoughtful.
How about I show you? Like before?
Din swallowed, half afraid and half excited. He studied the bridge of Fett's nose. He'd been half hoping Fett would offer, honestly. Din didn't know how to talk about something like this. He didn't know how to put what he wanted into words.
But if Fett can show me...
Yes, Din said, licking his bottom lip nervously. Yes, all right. Fett smiled, and there was no kindness in it.
Ask me nicely, he suggested.
Din felt heat rise in his belly, his hands, his face.
Yes, Din said slowly.
Please?
Jate, said Fett, that praise again, and Din could have sagged in relief.
He guessed right and had given Fett what he wanted. Some of the hunger in Fett's expression banked a little.
You remember the words we talked about last time?
Give, Din said. He frowned a little, riffling through his memories.
Or Rom or Lubid.
Just one'll do, Fett said, smiling crookedly. Pick whichever's easiest to remember.
Give, Din decided. He knew it from his time in the Corps, and it would be easy to remember, easy to say.
You remember the rule that goes with it?
If I need you to stop, you'll stop,
Right, Vet confirmed. All you've got to do is say the word. Doesn't matter what we're doing, you say it, and I stop. Good?
Good, Din said, nodding. He remembered that Fett liked to hear Din's agreement instead of just seeing it.
The hunger in Fett's face sharpened.
Good, he rumbled, taking a deliberate step forward.
Then strip.
Din said, resisting the urge to take a step back.
What?
You heard me, Jaren, Fett said, unimpressed.
Strip. Armor and clothes. You can keep your underclothes on if you're shy, but I want to see your back. I want to see what I'm working with.
So he can hit me, Din realized, and his ability to form complex thoughts deserted him wholesale. Need punched him in the chest. His mouth parted, his hands went numb. The ever-present whine in his ears rose in pitch.
Fett's own expression was a mirror, raw and wanting.
Well? Fett prompted.
Tension curled inside Din like an anaconda. He'd never... Even in the covert, he'd bared as little skin as possible. Skin was bared to tend an injury, and that was it, unless one of the novices had found an anchor and was passing it around the others to give each other clumsy, wobbly-line tattoos.
Din had let Annika give him one, but hadn't trusted Paz with it. Knowing Paz, he would have given Din something vulgar. Outside of getting stitches, or setting a bone, or taking gloves off to eat a meal, or the occasional touches traded between bored warriors looking to work off some tension, skin was supposed to be kept hidden underneath a warrior's armor. Din had followed that rule all his life. He'd let Fett see him already, in parts and pieces. But to take everything off...
It might be worth it, Din reasoned. He started with his Beskar, just like he had last time. His cuirass first, and then the rest, followed by the stiff folds of his cloak, his kuta, his boots, the spear, the darksaber, all of Din's knives and blades. The night air was cool. Chill bumps broke out along Din's arms.
Go on, said Fett, as implacable as always.
Din scowled, discomfort clawing at him, and touched the hem of his undershirt.
I can do it for you if you'd like, Fett suggested, and that, more than anything, pushed Din over the edge.
Having Fett do it would be... too much. Not enough.
Din tugged his shirt off artlessly, shrugging out of it with stiff, protesting limbs, and threw it at Fett's feet. He stood there, shivering, more exposed than he'd ever consciously been in his life, and waited to be told what to do next.
Kneel, Fett said.
Somehow that was easier than taking off his clothes. Din knew how to kneel. Everyone in the covert knelt before the forge while their Beskar took shape. Din folded to the floor so fast his bare knees cracked against the floor, a dull flash of pain he barely registered. Din put his hands on his knees, sat back on his heels, and looked up at Fett.
Fett huffed.
You're just full of surprises, aren't you?
Din frowned. He wasn't trying to be.
Good, Fett added, before Din could convince himself that he'd somehow misstepped.
Thank you.
How long's it been since someone touched you, without your armor on?
Din tilted his head, confused.
Only a few days, he said. His eyes darted over to the place where Fett had looked after Din's bruises only a couple of nights ago.
Someone who isn't me, Fett clarified.
Oh. Din thought about it. The kid had touched his face on the light cruiser, just a brush of tiny claws. But that wasn't what Fett was asking. Fett wanted to know how long it had been since Din had been touched like this.
One of my... of the other warriors in the tribe stitched me up last year after I got stabbed, Din said, straightening his back.
Annika had been less than amused. She'd called Din an idiot even as she'd stitched him back together. Before that, maybe another year, two. I wasn't around in the covert much. Always working.
Fett's brow furrowed.
No one's touched you in more than a year. Din shrugged, uncomfortable.
Not without my Beskar on.
Din was used to other kinds of contact. Pressure he could feel through the layers of his kuta, a friendly hand clapped on his shoulder,
a punch resonating in his Beskar.
I didn't realize, Fett said softly.
It's not uncommon, Din said, uncertain.
No, Fett said, rubbing a hand over the back of his head. He looked almost sheepish, which was even more confusing. But I would have taken a different approach if I'd known.
I'm fine, Din grumbled. He didn't need to be coddled like a child.
Fair enough, Fett said. He took another step closer, then another, until he stood over Din, much like he had down in the kitchens the first time. The heat of him was much more immediate now that Din was only wearing underpants, the rest of him bare to the wind. Din suppressed a shiver and told himself that it was just because of the chill.
I'm going to touch you, Fett warned. He didn't ask permission, but Din supposed that was what Gev was for. Din nodded anyway and tried not to tense. Instead of a blow, Fett stripped off his own gloves and set a bare hand at the back of Din's neck. Din still half-jumped, lips parting in surprise. Fett's hand was hot. The blaster calluses on his hand scraped against Din's neck, and he couldn't stop himself from twitching, the sensation completely alien to him. Fett hummed. His careful fingers found a scar on Din's shoulder, a ropey knot left behind from a particularly bad fall Din had taken hunting Black Sun deserters in Smarab. Din hadn't been able to reach the injury to cauterize it himself, so he'd been forced to let it bleed until he'd made it back to the covert. There wasn't much sensation left around the scar, but Din could still feel the shadow of Fett's fingertips.
Your tribe's not a big fan of modern medical care, Fett observed.
Din scowled. He knew that he had plenty of scars. He'd gotten far fewer since he'd picked up full Beskar Gom, but he'd been in Durasteel or worse for years. Sometimes armor failed.
Bacta can be in short supply, Din said.
Navarro had been one of the nicest places Din had ever stayed. They'd been able to scavenge nearly everything and buy what they hadn't been able to find. Before that, they'd sometimes been lucky to find a place to stay where the locals had even heard of Bacta.
Fett rumbled again.
True, he allowed. He skated his fingers up to the back of Din's neck, pressing lightly against the sore place where Din had cracked his skull open against the Dark Trooper. Din hissed.
How'd you hold up out in Mos Pelgo?
Well enough, said Din, remembering Fett's reaction to the word fine.
The sandstorm hit you too?
It did. We waited it out in the town's bunker. It wasn't too bad. The warm press of bodies, the stories, the laughter. It had been nice. As close to being back in the covert as Din had been able to find out here in the galaxy. He hadn't minded the noise or the hands on his armor. He didn't mind Fett's hands either, if he was being honest. It was strange having someone touch him skin to skin. Entirely foreign. But it wasn't bad. Just different. New. Fett kept up his gentle, steady exploration. He mapped out the scars on Din's shoulders, his back, his arms, his flanks. He seemed to know the difference between blaster wounds, which were almost always tender, and knife cuts, most of which had no feeling at all. He traced the lean muscles in Din's arms, the strength that came from years of training and wearing armor. He palmed Din's ribs, making a disgruntled noise at the feel of them, and skillfully mapped each knob in Din's spine. Din let it wash over him. The touches were strange and unfamiliar, but clinical enough that Din could keep his heart calm, his breathing even. He could almost convince himself that this was no different than being checked over by a medic. The only thing that kept tripping Din up was the drag of Fett's calluses.
Good, said Fett finally, using one hand to smooth down a few of Din's wild curls.
He scratched at Din's scalp lightly. Din would have objected to being petted like a Masif puppy, but the touch felt innocuous enough that Din allowed it.
How's the leg?
Din twitched again, his hands fluttering in an aborted movement before he caught himself and kept them on his knees.
Can't you see it? Din asked.
Fett rumbled. The hand in Din's hair stopped moving.
I can see it fine, Jaren, said Fett. A new, darker note had entered his voice. I didn't ask you how it looked. I asked you how it was. The truth, please.
Din swallowed at the reprimand.
It's sore, he said.
but it hasn't bothered me since I took the Bacta off. The hands started to move again.
Did it help you?
For a split second, Din thought about playing dumb, but he didn't have his armor on and Din knew that his face would give him away. He hadn't figured out yet how to control his expression or how to keep his heart out of his eyes. So Din swallowed and said, honestly, roughly, "It did." Fett's hand stopped being so gentle. Fett tangled his fingers in Din's hair and tugged once, sharply. Din moved with it, biting back another hiss. Fett didn't relent until he had Din's head pulled back, throat bare. He looked down with raw hunger in his eyes. Din could only blink back up at him, dazed. Pain prickled down his scalp and into his neck. Din had to grip at his knees to keep from struggling. Fett smiled.
"Good," he said.
"You asked me what I get out of all this. Do you understand now?" Din stared up at him. His thoughts were running together too fast and too slow at the same time, a tangle of competing instincts. Din wanted to tear himself away and run for the sky. He wanted to lean into Fett's touch. He wanted it to stop, and he wanted it to hurt more. But Din didn't get to decide what happened next. He was mostly naked, entirely vulnerable, at Fett's mercy. And Fett, Din realized, didn't have much mercy in him. He understood.
"Control," he rasped, fingers digging into his knees.
"You get control."
"I do," Fett agreed.
"I get to decide how you're hurt. Where? When?" He tugged a little harder, forcing Din to either bow his back or overbalance. Din bent with him, strain building along his spine. Fett's blunt fingernails dug into his skin and flared brightly. Din gasped, dizzy and overwhelmed. He felt every lick of the wind against his back and his belly. He felt Fett's eyes on him like black holes, bottomless and ravenous, a gravity Din couldn't outrun. His eyes watered.
"Please,"
he choked, gritting his teeth against any deeper, rawer sounds of pain. Fett's hand gentled, but only just. He soothed Din's prickling scalp with the rough pads of his fingers.
"Since you ask so nicely," said Fett, solicitous. "Take a second, Jerrica, and think carefully. Do you want this?"
Din swallowed. He swayed, his stance broken, and Fett gently lent one of his own legs for Din to lean on. Fett's thigh was just as warm as his hands.
"Want what?"
Din managed, once he'd gotten his breath under control again. He'd dug new bruises into his knees. Fett tugged a few curls at the nape of Din's neck, gently.
"For me to take control," he said. "For me to hurt you."
Din swallowed. He looked up at Fett. "I can say no," he reminded himself. "I can say Gev, and this will stop." But Din didn't want this to stop. He gathered what was left of his courage and looked Fett in the eye.
"Yes," he said. "I do."